everybody doing?
Outstanding.
Excellent.
Excellent. What's going on? Who we got on the line?
Francis Whalen and Jim Miller.
Awesome.
Frederick Jackson.
Great. Anybody else want to jump in? Maybe not. Okay, I know we got a few people on here, so I don't want to keep you. If it's your first time, welcome to the biweekly Q&A calls for Inner Circle students only. This is just for Inner Circle students, so that's why you have to log in. I'm really excited you're here. This is biweekly Q&A calls. It's always the second and the fourth Monday of the month. And its sole purpose is to be able to get your questions answered. And you know that you can always email me in between. I get emails every single day from Inner Circle students, but it's your chance to talk live and ask questions and follow-ups and all that good stuff. So having said that, let's just jump right in. Feel free to ask one, possibly two questions if you'd like, but then give other people a chance. And try to keep the background noise down. If you're doing dishes in the background or you got a dog barking or you're calling in from a bar, just mute your phone. Mute your line, and you can do that by hitting *6 to mute your line. To unmute it, just hit *6 again. So let's just go ahead and jump right in, and who has a question? No questions?
I don't feel like I know enough yet to ask a question.
It's okay. It's no problem. If you have any questions, concerns, anything you're working on, if you have any questions for me about what am I doing, what do I, you know, what am I doing about this or what am I doing about that or whatever kind of question it is. It could be about your deal. It could be about what I'm doing. It could be about any of that stuff. So feel free to jump in and ask any kind of question.
Hey, Larry. This is Don here in Houston.
Hey, Don. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good. Yeah, I was just wondering, my question is about due diligence in when you're trying to analyze whether it's a whether it's a deal or not. Do you use MLS access, or you know, where are you getting your values from to decide whether or not it's
okay?
A deal?
Where am I pulling my comps from?
Yeah.
Okay, if you, I do not have MLS back-end access like realtors do. I don't have that, but what I do use is sold comps on Zillow. There's another website that we use that we actually pay for their service, and it's called RealQuest, realquest.com. And I think it costs me about $50 a month, and I get so many lookups, so many research properties per month. And I can't remember that exact number, but it's about $50 a month, I believe. And RealQuest gives you a lot more information and data than does Zillow. Zillow is just going to show you what it's sold for. That's all. Is that kind of what you were looking for?
Yeah, I tried RealQuest a little bit because they had a 30-day trial period.
Yeah, how do you like it?
Well, what I was finding is some of the properties I'm looking at are rural or semi-rural, and I didn't get much information on, you know.
And when that happens, when you're looking at rural and semi-rural properties, and there's not a lot of actual comps, the best thing to do is to call a local realtor or three and ask them, you know, here's what I'm thinking about doing with this property. What do you think about that? Do you think this would be a good property to sell or to lease option or fix and flip? What's its highest and best use? What do you think I could rent it for? All those are really good questions to ask.
So you don't use MLS. Is it something you think it'd be worthwhile for me to pursue? Like if I'm working with a realtor?
To pursue what?
The MLS access through a realtor?
Not necessarily. I mean, I don't have it, you know, and haven't had it. Don't really see the need for it personally. But if you're now, every local MLS is different in what they provide. So mm-hmm. because they are all local, so it's really up to you. If you know that your local MLS provides a lot of data that isn't available on, say, a RealQuest or whatever, then it might be worth it to you to get MLS access or, you know, befriend a realtor or whatever that will give you access to that. Does that make sense?
All right. Yeah, it does.
Good.
Thanks a lot.
Oh, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. My pleasure. Anybody else have a question?
If I can get you to, this is Francis Whalen.
Hey.
If I can get you to expand a little bit on that for rural properties. I did bid on one last week that was way out in the country, and even the listing agent didn't have any comps because nothing had been sold in the area recently.
Wow.
The property was something they had never listed, that type of property or that value property before. It was on 5 acres. They didn't have anything. What would you do in a situation like that? How do you come up with some comps?
Well, I would just call multiple realtors until you found one that knew the area or had bought or sold some in the area. And, you know, if the more rural a property is, the fewer sales there are.
Right.
And the more research you're going to have to do and the more people you're going to have to talk to actually find a property find a good comp or good valuation to the property. Now,
okay.
having said that, that could work to your advantage, especially if you're selling on lease option or seller financing. Because if it's hard to find comps, you can just about create your own.
Okay.
Now, the downside to that is if say you're picking up a house for $30,000. If you want to sell it for $69,900 and get $5,000 down and you have a $64,900, there's a lot of background noise. If you're around any background noise, please hit *6 and mute your line. So anyway, if you're selling a house for $69,900 and you get $5,000 down and then you have a $64,900 note, if your goal is to sell that note, then if the property is really only worth about $40,000, it's more important that you be accurate on your comps and on the price you're selling it for. But if you're going to keep the note or keep the property and not sell the property with a loaded lease option tenant or a land contract buyer, then that's less important, and it's more important about the cash flow, okay? But if you're selling the note and the property's really only worth $40,000, it's going to be hard to sell a note for $45,000 on a property that's really only worth $40,000 or $45,000. So you got to keep the actual value of the property in mind if you're planning on selling the note. If you do a seller financing, or if you're selling the property with the turnkey lease option tenant in it. But if you're keeping it, it's less as important because you can kind of create your own market in an area like that. Does that make sense?
It does. When I did the analysis, I actually looked at the tax value to get a ballpark figure of what things might have sold for around that area.
Right.
But, yeah, what you said made sense.
Good, good, good. I'm glad I could help. Excellent. Who's next?
Hey, Larry. How you doing? This is Fred from Wilmington.
Hey, Fred. What's up, buddy?
Hey, just a quick question. How how long do you typically hold properties before you just go ahead and engage a realtor and put them on the MLS?
What do you mean as far as hold them? Because the only time I engage a realtor and put it on the MLS is if I am retailing it. If I'm wholesaling or seller financing it or doing a lease option, I always do it myself.
Yeah, and in the case that I'm talking about, I have a couple of properties that we're seller financing. And we've been, although we've gotten a few offers, the biggest issue is people coming up with a reasonable down payment. I mean, yeah, everybody wants to put down $1,000.
Right.
In one case, a $100,000 house. You know, they want to treat it as a rental.
What did your realtors tell you when you were doing your due diligence up front and you called your realtors about how much you could get as a down payment in the area? Did they tell you something different than $1,000?
No. And quite frankly, I don't think I asked that question.
That's part of the due diligence is talking to people and finding out what can you get as a down payment. You can't just wing that. You got to ask local realtors when you call them about this property and, you know, hey, I've got a property at 125 Oak Street. We're thinking about seller financing it. What do you think I could get for a down payment in this area for this type of property? And, you know, when you're calling about this property, that's very, very important. That's an important key part of it. Remember, we went over that when you were at the office.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I think the reason why I probably did not pay that, not making excuses, but, you know, this piece of property is in an urban area. There's a lot of comps around, a lot of properties around. And just considering the fact that this property's price may be $20,000 under what we could be marketing it for.
Right.
It could sell like a traditional home.
Right. Okay. Well, what you could do, it's $20,000 what now?
Well, we think it's about $20,000 under. We have it at $100,000. We think it actually could go for as much as $120,000, according to the comps in the area.
Now, are you trying to retail it, or are you trying to sell or finance it?
We're trying to sell or finance it.
Why would you not list it? Put it at list price. At the retail value, if you're seller financing. Now, it's okay if you're trying to sell it for less, as long as you're in it. You know, thin enough to where you can sell the note.
Well, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. And I probably, you know, I didn't mention the fact that there's a little bit of flooring that needs to be replaced. There's some minor work. There's nothing major in it, but there's some minor work that brings it up to the full value. And you know, we haven't done that or are interested in doing that.
Right.
And so right now we've had the property marketed with signs and Craigslist for about a couple of months. We've got some bites, but no deal. And then just to expand it, the audience, I was thinking that maybe we'll just engage a realtor and list it, because oftentimes they have, I met a local realtor here who says he's always got, you know, three or four people that are looking for an owner financing deal.
All right, well, I'm not so sure I would list it unless you have somebody that would do a flat fee listing where you're only going to pay 3% whenever somebody sells it. Okay?
Right.
If you have to pay 6%, think about it. If you're selling it for $100,000 and you have to pay $6,000 in commission, there goes your down payment right there.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, but if you can find somebody that has that will do a flat fee listing, like you pay them $100 or $200, and you get a flat fee listing, then what you would do is you would get the property listed on the MLS, and you're only going to pay 3% to the selling agent, the person
who
sold it.
Right.
The person who sold it. Makes sense?
Okay. Yep. Got it. Yeah, that's a good idea. I didn't think about a flat fee listing. That's probably a nice little twist.
That's what I would do. Now, if you don't want to go that route, you can buy a list of realtors in the area, buy them by zip code, buy them by MLS, buy them by city, and then just you can buy an email list. You can also buy a direct mail list, and you can direct mail them all, like send them a postcard, turn your dead leads into, you know, closed deals or into commissions. And, you know, I'm owner financing a property. Bring me your unqualified buyers that have at least 5,000, 10,000, whatever number you want to put down. And I will sell them a house.
Right.
How about that?
And I will pay, your 3% commission.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, good deal. Okay, I'll try that. I'll try that list approach also.
Good.
I like
good.
That.
Good. Let me know how that goes.
Okay, we'll do.
Awesome. Who's next?
Okay, I'm going to ask, what have you been doing lately?
What have I been doing lately? I've been doing HUD houses. We've got a house right now that we're doing a fix and flip on, and you know I hate rehabs.
Yes.
But I've got one that all I had to do was put a little carpet in it and do a little few odds and ends. It was about $3,000 worth of work. And we're in it in the mid-30s, and we've got it listed for $79,900. I typically would not retail a house for under $100,000, but the realtor says there's financing available for this type of house and this price range, and he can sell it fairly quick. So we got a retail house going. We lease optioned two more houses. One we got like $3,000 down. One we got I think $4,000 down. One's paying $625 and the other one's paying $650 a month. And those are lease option deals. And we're closing this Friday on a wholesale deal. We're paying $33 for it and have it sold for $40. So that's kind of what we got going on right now. We had a house. Some of the houses we have under contract, we backed out of one of them because it was down near the coast and the whole area is kind of flooded and it's really kind of marshy going up to the house. So we just backed out of it instead of waiting and worrying and wondering and all that. We just backed out of the deal because of the flood. So that's kind of what we got going on right now.
Well, I've seen several houses in the area in North Carolina, Fayetteville recently, Fayetteville, Lumberton area that are for sale, but they have been listed for quite a few days before the hurricane hit. So I have a fear they're probably underwater now. So
it
I'm
could
staying
be.
Away from that.
Could be. You just have to ask whenever you call about them.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Good. Did that help?
That always helps.
Awesome. 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 Anybody else have a question?
Hey, Larry.
Hey.
This is Gabriel calling you from Dallas.
What's going on, buddy?
Hey, man. We are meeting this week to talk about setting up our another VA to do our HUD activity.
Right.
Okay, so as a member of Inner Circle, do you have some sort of system that we can hand over to them so they basically know step-by-step what to do, or some sort of video training we can give them so it'll kind of be done on autopilot without us having to write it all out?
Well, yes and no, okay? Yes and no. I don't have, well, first of all, it depends on what you want them to do because there's so many different things you could get them to do. You could get them to take calls. They could make calls. They could post ads for you. They could work your social media. They could set up your Craigslist accounts. They could post ads on Craigslist accounts. They could troll Craigslist looking for properties. They could take incoming calls, Podio. You know, I mean, there's so many things.
Specific to making offers on HUD.
Say that again?
Specific to making offers on HUD.
Specific to making offers on HUD. Well,
yeah, doing counters. Yeah.
Do you want them to analyze your HUD deals, or do you want them to submit the bids for you, or what exactly are you wanting them to do with the HUD?
I mean, listen, you know, you're the boss. You tell me what you want them to do. What do you think would be most efficient? Bottom line, we can have them for a few hours a week, and I mean, we get tons and tons of counter offers as we're making these offers, and to be quite frank with you, sometimes we get behind in responding to the counters. Is it accurate that your team is making offers basically every day on the same properties?
We are making the offers every day on the same properties, although you're always going to check that little box that says leave it open as a backup. We still make our offers every day because you never know what day they're going to take it. You never know how much. You know, like, we make a different offer on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Right. So that being said, I mean, we essentially need to have – I feel like we want to do the same thing and have someone continually making offers on our behalf. So, I mean, we have other stuff to do in running the business and things of this nature and seeing sellers. So we'd like to set that to autopilot as much as possible.
Well, here's what I would probably do if I were you. If I were you, you guys should be analyzing the deal to put in the number on your spreadsheet as to what you want to offer. And then you're going to have your virtual assistant log into your Google Doc, and all they have to do is pull up the bid amount, and log in using your realtor's NAID number that you've built a relationship with that has given it to you. And then they're going to log in, the VA, and they're going to submit the bid based on what's on the spreadsheet that you guys have put there. And if you get a counter, then you need to just spend 5 to 7 minutes analyzing that deal, put your highest and best on there, change it to through that amount, and then you're going to have your VA will just, they'll log in that day and they'll submit that next bid for you for the, you know, against the counter.
Okay, and just to confirm what, you know, regarding what we're doing as far as making offers currently, I mean, if it's in a local area where we can essentially pull it up on MLS, see if there's any comps, things of this nature, we'll do that. If it's in more of a remote area, there's not a lot of comps. I mean, basically what we're doing is just basically, you know, I'm just really kind of going by your book. Going, you know, if it's a mobile home, double wide, I'll be doing up to, I think it's 35% of the list price. And then if it's a house and I can't pull any relevant comps, you know, I'll probably go up to about 40% or something like that. I mean, is that what I should be doing? And if I can't pull anything beyond it?
Well, if you'll notice, to start out with, you have the shotgun approach. If you're going into any market to begin with, you're going to use the shotgun approach. Okay?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then once you end up with all those numbers filled in, okay, then you're going to start narrowing it down to the rifle approach, okay?
When you say all those numbers, what are you referring to?
Every property that you want to bid on in the area.
Okay,
If there's 100 properties and you want to bid on all 100 of them,
right?
Then you're going to basically get all of them, all 100 of them, with the shotgun approach, which would be the 35%, kind of like you said, and then you're going to start analyzing each one of them. Spend 5 to 7 minutes doing that, and it could be your number would determine, your analysis would determine, wait a minute, instead of 35%, I could pay 85% on this one. I
could
pay 65% on this one. I could pay, you know, I'm right on the money with 35% on this one. So
okay.
You could just look at each one of them on an individual basis.
Right, I understand. Okay.
Good.
Okay, well, yeah, that's good. We'll do that. And then as far as just back to the having the people make the offer for us or having a VA do the offer, I mean, what we'll do is we'll essentially go through it the first time around, the properties we want to offer on. We'll put them in the spreadsheet. We'll put the range for which we can have them offer, the offer range.
The percentage.
What's that? Yeah. And then, so basically put in a percentage of what we'd be willing to pay based on the list price.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And then as far as actually them logging in, them going here, do you already have that somewhere spelled out in a step-by-step that I could just, you know, send them a Word doc with those steps lined out for them?
The step to do what?
Like making an offer as an example.
To submitting a bid?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's in my HUD mastery course.
Okay.
It's in my HUD mastery course.
Okay, I'll talk with you about that offline.
Okay, all right, that sounds good.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, sure, no problem at all. No problem at all. Cool.
Hey, Larry, this is Fred again. Hey
Fred.
Just in response to I didn't catch the guy's name, we were just speaking. If
he'll
send me an Gabriel, hey, Gabriel, I have a PDF that I made, and basically what I did is that as I was going through the HUD steps, I just did a screenshot of the HUD webpage and then collected a series of those and made a PDF document out of it. And then I went through and annotated it and saying, okay, you got to put this information in here, you got to put this information here. You're welcome to that. If you shoot me an email, I could shoot it to you.
Oh, I would really appreciate that. Where should I send it, Fred?
Yeah, send an email to fred@integrity-realty.com.
fred@integrity-realty.com.
Yep.
Okay, sir, I'll send it right away. Thank you.
Not a problem.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that, Fred. That's nice. Very nice of you. I'm sure you're going to get emails from multiple people.
I better put it in my CRM so I can do an auto-responder.
Right?
Yeah.
That's funny. Good. Well, thanks a lot for sharing that. That's very nice. So anybody else have a question? Anybody else have a question about a deal you're working or anything you need help on or anything you're confused about or afraid of or having reservations about or need help with? It might be a fairly short call tonight.
We're a very quiet group, it seems.
I know, right? Some people just mute their line and like to listen in. Some people never ask questions, but some people ask a lot, and that's good. It's all good. I always stay on here as long as people need. Anybody else have a question about anything?
Okay, I'm going to ask this because my husband's afraid to ask it.
Sure, it's okay.
right now I'm concentrating on the area that we live in.
Uh-huh.
So new. Is it just as easy, you think, to look at places outside our area in other states? I mean, we'd have to get in touch with people to advertise for us and things like that. I mean, I was just looking in our general, like within 100 miles of where we live.
And where do you live?
We live in just outside of Albemarle in North Carolina.
Okay, okay. Yeah, you can look outside of your area. Absolutely you can. The only thing whenever you go outside your area that you have to do is you have to have, number one, somebody go look at the property and take pictures for you and analyze the deal and look at the repairs so you kind of know the condition. Now, you can drive the street online, all right? But you have to have somebody to go out and do that. You also have to have somebody to go put your signs out to sell the property, okay?
Right.
And then if it's a HUD house, you have to have somebody to show the house for you, okay?
Yeah, we're not looking at HUD houses right now. So.
Those are really the main things that you need help with if you are buying outside your local area. That makes sense?
It does to me.
Good. Good. And I can help you whenever you get to that point. I can help you find those people and get all that taken care of. If you decide to go outside your own area where you need somebody to help you with that, I will be glad to help you find somebody. Do what?
Yeah, available right here. So, yeah, we're probably going to need that help, yes.
Well, listen, I look in the whole state. That's what I do. I search the whole state.
Right.
Yeah. So good. I hope that helped you.
It did. Thanks.
Thank you.
Great. You're welcome. You're welcome. Who else has a question?
Hey, Larry. This is Frederick Tompkins.
What's up?
Not much. So I'm feeling bold now having heard other people's questions. How do you know if you are in the wrong area?
How do you know if you're in the wrong area?
Yeah, like so I live in Denver, and like the owner financing thing is almost impossible in Denver, at least in large enough quantities to really make an income out of it.
Right.
So I started looking from a distance at Houston, and as it is from a distance, I'm very dependent on the internet and what I've seen, and I'm like, this is even there seems out of my price range. So I'm just trying to figure out how do I know if I'm just doing something wrong or if I just am looking in the wrong area.
Well, what are you trying to do? What kind of deals are you trying to do?
I'm really just wanting to do some owner financing. And, you know, sell every other property once I have a tenant in place.
Sell every other note?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay, good, good, good. All right, well, you know, Denver, Colorado is a pretty hot market. So is Houston. If you're going to go out of your own area where you're having to do this virtual, I would not pick another hot market similar to where you're in. Does that make sense? Hello? Does that make sense? Did we lose him?
Nope, I'm here. Sorry, I had the phone on mute. It's bath time.
Oh, okay.
So,
shower time.
I didn't want the kids talking through the call.
That's good. So, does that make sense? If you're going to go to another market, I would not pick another hot market, okay? I would pick another market that is, number one, probably a little lower median price. I like to pick up houses for $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 and seller finance them for $69,900, $79,900, $89,900, and even $99,900. I don't like buying houses for $150,000 and having to sell them for, you know, $200,000 or $250,000, okay?
Right.
I would rather pick up the cheaper houses. Plus, it's easier to find note buyers, easier to find the money to borrow to do your deals, and, you know, just so many things for the cheap houses, all right? And
right.
If you're going to buy virtually, I would stay in the southern states. I would not go up north, because then you run into issues in the wintertime about pipes freezing and winterizing houses when they're vacant and stuff like that.
Gotcha.
So anything in the south, southeast, would be great. Georgia, Alabama, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Arkansas, the Carolinas, those are the main ones right there.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, does that help?
Very much so. Just got to figure out what the next step is to find which areas to target now.
Target the state. If you're going to go virtual, it doesn't matter about the city. Like, I'm close to Charlotte, North Carolina, and I haven't bought a house in Charlotte in several years.
Okay.
There's too much competition. You don't have to be in the big MSA. Small towns are okay. I prefer the small town. It can take you longer to sell a house, but it's a better quality buyer, especially for seller financing, because people in small towns, they were typically born and raised there. They have ties to the community. They have family. They have a support system in place, and they're not going anywhere. So especially for seller financing, it's a better buyer, but there are fewer buyers, so it can sometimes take longer to sell a house that way, if that makes sense.
It does. Now, it's been a while since I got in on call, but one of the last times I was on the call, I remember there was like a minimum number of sales you were supposed to target, though, at the same time.
A minimum number of what?
A minimum number of sales in an area or something like that. Is that not correct?
I'm not sure about that. I don't really look at that.
Okay.
I don't.
All right, good. I misunderstood. Thank you.
Awesome. Sure, my pleasure. Anybody else have a question? Anybody else have a question? Well, guys, you know you can reach me anytime by shooting me an email to larry@larrygoins.com anytime. And I'll answer it, and I'll answer it as soon as I possibly can. And I typically usually answer a lot of them in minutes, usually all of them the same day, sometimes in minutes, not all the time, but sometimes in minutes. But I see here I have a couple of emails I have to respond to from today. So from Inner Circle students. Always put in Inner Circle in your subject line. Always, always, always put Inner Circle in your subject line. That way I go through and I answer those emails first, okay?
Okay.
So, guys, I really appreciate you being on. I really appreciate your business. Please let us know how it's going. If we can help you with anything, don't hesitate to let us know. We are here to help you. I can't do it for you, but I'm here to support you and help you and guide you. When you get a deal that you need help with, you're confused about, you get counteroffers, whatever it is, I am here to help you. So please, use me. Reach out to me. Let me know if there's anything at all that I can do to help you. So I appreciate your business, and thanks for being on here. And If I don't talk to you, I will talk to you guys in 2 weeks from now. Thanks a lot, everybody, for being on. I really appreciate it. Hope everybody
Thanks,
has a
Larry.
Great night.
Thanks, Larry. See you later.
Thanks,
guys.
See you later.
Thanks, guys.